defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The last state is become worse with them than the first, for it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Before, we used to speak of verse 19, referring to alcohol. Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. It can be of whom or of what a man is overcome. And who can help but think of alcohol and drug addiction today? And if it overcomes a man or a woman, it brings that man or woman into bondage. The Savior said the same thing in John chapter 8. He said, he who commits sin is the slave of sin. And men say that they have a free will. Well, if they do, why do they not use that will to escape from this bondage that they cry out about? A bondage that destroys them and their children and their home and their neighborhood. If they have this power, why do they not escape from it? Because the Bible says, of whom or of what a person is overcome, of the same is it brought into bondage. And they're in Satan's grasp. He uses the flesh, but they're in his grasp. And it takes a stronger than Satan, the Lord Jesus, to deliver them out of that grasp. But here is something that is remarkable. Look at verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, simply consider those words. Here are some who have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you look at this carefully, you will probably come to the same conclusion that I do, that here is a person who simply has had the light to come to him, and he has with joy admitted that light, and for a time rejoiced in it. And I want to show you two scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 8, first of all. Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, look at verse 9. They're asking the Savior for the interpretation of the parable of the sower. And he says this in verse 12. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock, or the rocky ground, are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Will you remember that? There is a belief that is not a divinely imparted belief. It is not that faith that comes from a revelation of God. Of Peter it was said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Well, here are those, and these understand, that when the word of God comes to them, they hear of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They hear of that. And when they hear it, it says, they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, and for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. You say, that's remarkable. Then there is a belief that is of the flesh, that is of man, that is not a divine thing, and it's temporary. Yes, the same as in John, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Look at verse 34. But the witness which I receive is not from man. Howbeit, I say these things that you may be saved. John was the lamp that burneth and shineth, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. Do you see? There are some who hear the truth. Now turn back to 2 Peter 2. There are some who hear the truth that a servant of God brings, that the Lord Jesus himself spoke. And when that happens, verse 20, it speaks of their escaping the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here are those who heard John the Baptist preach, and it says, for a while, they were willing to rejoice in his light, only for a while. It says that some who were sown, the seed got to their hearts, but their heart had a solid layer of rock, and it was not able to get down inside and spread out roots and stay there permanently and bring forth fruit. And because of that, the ones in 2 Peter have had a similar experience. Look, the gospel is preached to a man. He receives it with joy. He believes for a while. And what happens is that those who believe you can be saved and lost say, here is an example of a man that was a true believer. He was saved and he was lost. But there is no such thing as a true believer being saved and lost. There is one who believes for a season, who is willing to rejoice in the light that John the Baptist gives, in the light of the Word of God. But if it is a light that comes from God, if not flesh and blood, but the Father who is in heaven reveals these things, then it is a permanent experience. And there will be no for a while. There will be no temporariness to this experience of faith, but it will be a thing of permanence. But here is what is so thrilling, to show you the power of the truth of the Word of God. It's this. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. At the same time, not only for salvation, but it is also the power even in the heart of a man whose heart is like a rock. It has an effect upon that man, and it can for a while enable him to escape the corruptions and the defilements that are in the world. Listen to verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you understand what enabled them to escape? I'll show you. Turn to chapter 1, and look at verse 2. I want you to see that the gospel has an effect upon everyone who hears it. And in verse 2, it says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How does a man get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 3. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us. So you say, this knowledge, why, there is a power in it. Yes, there is a power in it. A power that works in you, that will continue working in you until another power is allowed to displace its power that is working. Now look at verse 8. Having told those to whom he writes, yea, and for this very cause, giving all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love, godliness. All of these things, once the knowledge has come, you see, in your faith supply, it mentions all of these things. You first have the knowledge, and then there is a growth. There is an addition. There is more conformity to the life of Christ and to the person of Christ. Now, look at verse 9. Verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see all the things that make a man not to be idle or unfruitful? What are those things? In the faith, that is genuine faith, supply virtue, and then knowledge, and then self-control, and then patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. These are the things that are to be added. Because it says in verse 8, notice again, if these things are yours, all the ones I just mentioned, and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge. But here are some that had the knowledge that affected them greatly at the first. But then they did not go on. They did not add one Christian virtue to another. And because of that, they became idle and unfruitful. And now in chapter 2, look at verse 20 once more. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Please notice, in Luke 8, the seed was sown. They received it with joy and for a while believed, but in time of temptation fell away. Fell away permanently. Now that is the difference. I want all of you to acknowledge, just as I acknowledge, that at one time we were under the control of the prince of the power of the air. We loved the world, the things that were in the world, and then God delivered us from those things. Which one of us can say, I have never looked back. I have never wanted those things again. I have lived perfectly since the day I trusted Christ. I would never believe a man who told me that. But there are some who say that, but you look at them, and you understand that they're deceived. If we say we have no sin, deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But even though at times the world pulls on us, and it may be that we have become entangled temporarily, God will take us out of it. Do you remember the illustration? When Lot was entangled in Sodom, God dragged him out. And what God does for us, even though we are tempted, and even though the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down. And the difference is this. This man has escaped the defilements of the world, the same as we. But instead, whereas we have tasted the pleasures of the world, but then God has restored our souls, what has happened in this case is that these have tasted the world. And they have abandoned themselves to the world again. Why? Because they've become entangled and they have become overcome. And it says, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And so for a while, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ delivered this man, this woman, from the defilements of the world. And that's the power of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you about that for a little, because it's so thrilling. Here is a man who is in the world, and the Spirit of God has revealed to him that he is a sinner. The Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, and he is under conviction. And then he hears the truth. He gets the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, take these words. He hears that Jesus Christ is Lord, that in the beginning he was with God and was God, that Jesus is Lord. Also, the Savior, that this one who is Lord became flesh. He is Jesus. He went to the cross and died for us. And he is the Christ. He is the King, the promised Messiah, the Lord, his deity, the Savior. He died. Jesus, the humanity, the Messiah, the Christ, the promised King. The knowledge of these things, that God looked down upon us in our lost estate and sent the Lord of glory to earth. And he became man, Jesus. And he went to the cross and became our Savior. And this one is the King of the Jews. And the knowledge of this grips a man so powerfully that it can deliver him temporarily from the defilements of the world. That's the power of even the concept, the thought, the truth. But what happens is that his heart is like a stone, like a rock, and the seed gets into the heart, but it cannot get down to the core, and it cannot bear fruit, it cannot expand, and so he believes for a while. He rejoices for a while, and then in time of temptation, he turns back. And that is why I wonder about Demas. For a while, Demas, for a while, Judas Iscariot, because of this knowledge of the Son of God, they were delivered from the defilements of the world. But then there is the temptation of Judas to be a thief, and he stole what was in the bag. And finally, for 30 pieces of silver, he sold the Lord himself. And there was Demas, who served with the Apostle Paul. But in 2 Timothy 4, this is what Paul has to write. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you see? Demas escaped the defilements that were in the world. But now Demas has forsaken Paul, and he's gone back to the world. And I hope that it's a temporary thing, and that his soul was restored. But I do not know if he were true, and he stumbled, and God would restore him. I'm not able to tell you that. But he worked with Paul, and he forsook Paul. And he went to Thessalonica. Why? Because he loved this present world, the pleasures of sin. They pull on all of us, and once in a while, they overcome us. But if we are truly children of God, we are in such misery that God convicts us and restores our soul. Let us not be thankful that he only saves us, but that he restores our soul. But these appear to be apostates. They believe for a while, but then, having escaped through that temporary belief, the defilements that were in the world, because they said, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, such a concept so mightily affected them that they escaped the defilements of the world. But then, since it was not divine and it did not completely overcome their hearts, then what happened was the world, with its magnetic power, drew them back. And when it drew them back this time, they were overcome, and they remained in the world because they abandoned the only true concept that can deliver a man from the defilements of the world. And this is what happened to them. Now, look at verse 20, the latter part of it. It says, if after this experience they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. You say, how is that? Because what happens is that when a man is unsaved and unregenerate, he sins to one degree. But after he professes faith in Christ and then gives up all that for a while was attractive to him, with renewed power, he goes into the world and into the sins that he enjoyed in the past. And at the same time, because there was hopelessness in him, now there is such a hopelessness. And this is the illustration I'm using. These individuals that have been described to us in chapter 2 from the very beginning, denying the Lord that bought them. At one time, the concept of Savior, a Savior loved me, He bought me. It enabled them to escape the defilements in the world. But then, they apostatized. And now, they are not only back in the world and overcome by the world, but we read for the past few weeks that now they are proselytizing others that are trying to escape from the very world in which they found themselves and they were for a while delivered, but now they're back in it again. They're abandoned to it. They've given themselves up to sin, and now they are trying with lasciviousness and with false doctrine to corrupt these that are seeking to escape from the world just as they did. And that is what happens. Their last state is become worse than the first. Now this, and understand it, in verse 21, it says, "For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment." The last state is worse than the first, and it's better for them not to have known. Well, someone could have this thought put in their mind by the devil. Well, then, let's not tell the unsaved the way of righteousness. Let's not tell them the way of truth, because there is that danger that if they hear it and they're influenced for a while and go back, why, the last state is worse than the first, and it would have been better for them not to have heard it. No, you must take the whole thing. It would have been better for them not to have heard it and then turned back from the holy commandment. God sees to it that every man gets a degree of light. It says in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ illumineth. He lights every man that comes into the world. The Savior performed His greatest miracles in Capernaum and in the cities that He frequented. And He said, "Wanted thee, Chorazin, wanted thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, which were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have remained unto this day." What does it mean? The Savior said, you have this abundant light, and now that you've had it and you've rejected it, then your last state has become worse than the first. And in this sense, it's better for you not to have known. Why? Because your judgment is going to be immeasurably greater, because you knew it, you had this opportunity, and you rejected it. And because of that, it's better for them not to have known than having known to turn back from the holy commandment. And this is what is so frightful, that a man can hear, can go along with it. I believe that Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 was one who did the same thing. He believed and was baptized, but when he was exposed wanting to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money, Peter said, "Your money perish with you." The very thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money. I see that you're in the bond of iniquity. You're in the gall and the bond and iniquity and corruption. You are still there. He said, "Now pray that God might deliver you." And alas, this is what happens at times. He heard the truth. He went along. He was baptized. But he was still in the bond of iniquity, in the bitterness of his sin. And Peter tells him and exposes him that way. And it's better for them not to have known than to have known and turned back. The last state is become worse than the first. I want you to see this. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. And look at verse 43. You remember how it says in Ephesians 2, that at one time we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were led about by the prince of the power of the air. We were children of wrath, even as the rest. That's true. But what happens is this. When we hear the gospel, you will find that the gospel affects the evil spirit, the worldliness, the power of sin and of the flesh that's in us. And this is what happens for a while. Verse 43. But the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Notice, here is a man. He's been influenced by this unclean spirit. But for some reason, this unclean spirit has gone out of the man. But understand that it's temporary. It says, this spirit doesn't find any rest. Verse 46. 4. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. What has happened? Do you see the knowledge of Christ has enabled this man to escape the defilements of the world? The house is garnished, it's clean, it's empty, it's swept. But the Spirit of God is not in that man. And the evil spirit is able to enter in again and influence him. And then the Savior says, verse 45, then he goeth and taketh with him 7 other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. So when the light of God comes, it has an effect upon a man. It can harden him completely. It can soften him for a while to a degree. It will have some effect. But if it causes him to clean up his life, to sweep and garnish his life, it's like the evil influences of Satan and the world leaving him. But then, what happens is this. Turn to Mark chapter 9. I want you to see a special command that the Savior gave to a spirit. And let's look at verse 25. And when Jesus saw that a multitude came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And so there is such a thing as the evil influence and spirit of the world coming out of a man. But I just read you in Matthew 12, and the Savior used it as an illustration of a spirit going out of a man and then coming back and bringing 7 spirits more evil than himself into the man. But thank God, this is what I can assure you, that if you have been born again, then what evil spirit, what evil power controlled your life, if the Lord Jesus casts it out of the true child of God, he gives the command, come out of the man and enter no more into the man. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And evil spirits and Satan can come and tempt you, can influence you, but they cannot indwell you and expel the Holy Spirit of God. And we can go and be attracted into the world again and dwell there. But if the Spirit of God is in us, he will make us so miserable, he will work upon us to restore our souls. And so I've given you these illustrations of those, turn back to 2 Peter 2 again, of those who through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he was divine, he went to the cross, he was truly human, he was the King of Israel, and a man hears that gospel story, and it moves him and influences him for a while. But then the world with its power draws him back. Then the evil influences upon him come back upon him, and he returns to where he was before. And what is so terrible is that here I believe it is impossible to renew him again unto repentance. Why? Because at first there was the power that could free him, could deliver him from his sins. But he did not avail himself of it in its completeness. It had a temporary effect upon him. And if it did not do it the first time, when he understood it with full comprehension, because it's the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if he did not get deliverance then, it's not going to be possible for that same story he hears the second time to influence him the same way. Because it only influenced him so far, but he's like that man that said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He's like that rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus and said, what lack I yet? And the Lord told him what he lacked. And he turned his back on the Savior and went away. And the Savior said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? And so here are those that have had an influence over them by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then, it was a temporary influence. And what happens is that their last state it's become worse than the first, and it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn back from the holy commandment. Why? Because their judgment will be heavier and greater, and their part in the lake of fire will be like unto that which they never would have had. And what is it like? Look at verse 22. It's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. When something causes you to vomit, it is vile. There is something wrong. It has made you sick, and your system was telling you to get rid of it. Well, the dog got rid of it, but then he went back to that which caused him to vomit, and he turns to it again. And in like manner, here are worldlings, and they're like unto dogs, and the sin becomes so vile that they vomit it up. But then, alas, they're like the dog, and they turn to it again. That's something inward that comes out, but also there is something outward. They are washed. And here are those who have escaped the defilements of the world. You would see them dressed up going to church Sunday morning. But then, it says they're like the sow that was washed, but it returns to wallowing in the mire. And it's perfectly in order for a dog to behave as a dog, and for a sow to behave as a sow. It's their nature. But they have not been born again. They are simply like dogs and swine that inwardly and outwardly have some effect worked upon them by the gospel. But it is a temporary thing. The dog turning to its vomit again, the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mire. And so that is why we are exhorted in chapter 1 for this very cause, giving all diligence in your faith, that genuine faith, supply virtue and knowledge and all the other Christian characteristics, because this is the promise to us who do that, who, unlike the dog and the swine, it says, if we do these things, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we shall have an abundant entrance into the kingdom. May this be true of all of us by God's grace. Let us pray. Now, Father, we know what it is to have been in the world, but thank God we know what it is to have escaped the defilements of the world through that knowledge, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thankful that it delivered us once for all, and our visiting it, our God, is the exception, not the rule. And we are thankful that though at times it would entangle us, we haven't been overcome, and you've restored our souls. So, our God, we pray that all of these truths that we've heard shall make us examine ourselves and see if we are truly thine, and also those to whom Peter wrote to examine their souls and see if indeed they're truly children of God. So, Lord, let our portion be one of going on, growing in grace, and when that day comes, let us have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.